Blog Talk Radio.
From Dallas, Texas, I'm Chad Burleson, and this is The Chad Report. It is Monday, April 20th, 2015, or actually better known as the unofficial National Marijuana Celebration Day. And here to join me, if he can put his pipe down long enough, my co-host, the always, the hungry Jeff Rivers today. So. Just kidding.
How you doing, Chad?
Joke. Or
420.
Not.
Happy 420.
Right. Jeff never smoked marijuana before the show. But anyway.
No.
Yes, and you know, this is, just a few years ago, people did not know this. This has become, you know what I mean? Because I remember people going, what's 420?
Exactly.
I think there's still a handful of people that do that, especially maybe some of the older citizens that are not. They're like, what is that?
Right.
When did this become a marijuana day?
Exactly. I didn't know what 420 was until several years ago, I think.
Right. Well, you know, holidays take time to develop, Jeff. And
exactly.
Oh, wow. First off, I want to say we've enjoyed when we take a spring break on the Chad Report, we're serious about it, okay? So we're back. We haven't been on since February, and we've been on hiatus for a couple of months. Still on season 7, but we're picking up strong. Kind of like, just think of like the cable series. like think Lost or Dallas. You know how they start a season and then it doesn't come on for months and then it comes back? That's kind of what we're doing this season. So.
Exactly.
But no, glad to be back, and so appreciate everyone. And I believe I've got to most, if not all of them, answering, you know, that we would be back, because a lot of people thought that we were done. And no, that is not, that we are far from done, and have no plans of being done. Not as we can help it, right, Jeff?
Exactly.
And but the only problem is with I just wish, and you know, Blog Talk Radio is a great distributor, but there's no way to like put out a blanket message saying that, you know, we're not going to be, you know, I can go to social media and do things like that, but that's only a small percentage of our listeners. I can't,
right.
You know, it's hard to do that on your, you know, I can put it on my page, but, you know, it's one thing to, like, make a show and say, you know, what's going on. But anyway, so glad
right.
that everyone is back and appreciate all of the emails and messages, definitely.
Absolutely.
Big night here in Dallas last night, Jeff, with the Academy of Country Music Awards. It was the 50th annual, so they decided, usually they have this in Las Vegas, and they decided this time, since it's the 50th, they would use a larger venue, and with AT&T Stadium, where the Dallas Cowboys play, that is the biggest indoor venue that you can use, and they actually set a record. Mickey Gilley called it the Super Bowl of Country Music. The 50th annual Academy of Country Music Awards drew a Guinness World Records Awards show crowd of 70,252 for 24 musical performances, pyrotechnics, and just lots of just great. I thought the cameras did a great job capturing, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
they did,
I can't believe how they transformed that big arena. Wow, they did a great job.
Incredible, because usually this is a stadium that has a retractable roof, and it's also got a lot of windows. So they used 5 miles of fabric to cover, to darken that,
wow,
to make that look that way. And I think they did a great job, and I think because of that, you will see more things like this at AT&T Stadium in the future. It was incredible. I was a little disappointed, Jeff, to be honest with you, though. I was expecting a little, since it's the 50th annual, I thought we would see more More legendary performances from like some of the legendary artists. Reba McEntire put on a medley that was good, and but I was looking for like Kenny and Dolly singing Islands in the Stream,
you know, right? Exactly,
and or you know something like that. The Oak Ridge Boys singing Elvira. I don't know, Alabama doing a medley. There's just
exactly.
So many. You go Merle Haggard, you know.
Country music is not what it used to be.
No, and a lot of these songs, and I've noticed a lot on the message boards today, a lot of people were complaining, saying what you just said, saying country is kind of lost right now because it's kind of like this pop rock. It's not, you know, a lot of people are complaining that it's not country music. And you know, we know that in all of the, you know, with pop, R&B, all music changes in time. And this is not the first time that country music has been a little more pop sounding. It goes... You know, it'll go. It has its ups and downs. It'll swing back to more traditional country at some point.
Well, even had some pop singers singing country music last night. It's like, wow.
Right, Nick Jonas doing a medley of his songs, and Steven Tyler was there, Aerosmith, and it was several of the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo was one of the best lines of the night, I have to say.
Oh, yeah.
He threw a pass to Luke Bryan, who said he was ready for it. And Tony Romo threw the pass to him. He caught it, and Blake Shelton and Luke Bryan were the co-hosts. Blake Shelton said, now, Tony, he goes, is this one of those deflated balls, if you remember from that controversy? And he said, no. He says, the Dallas Cowboys have real balls, was his comeback to that. So,
right, that was a good line.
It was a great line. And some of the top winners, Entertainer of the Year went to Luke Bryan, and deservedly so. This is a great guy, great artist. Male Vocalist of the Year was Jason Aldean, and Female Vocalist of the Year was Miranda Lambert, who took home also Album of the Year, and she took three awards. And New Artist of the Year was Cole Swindell. So a lot of good stuff last night. And and the performances that we saw, like I said, I was wanting to see a few more of the older stars. But the newer ones, they're very talented, and they did a great job. Lady Antebellum stands out to me. They're outstanding. And just a lot of great talent, you know?
Absolutely.
Back into a 3.5-hour show. It was long, but it was done well. I thought it was done
definitely,
very well.
Definitely.
And
I was impressed.
I agree. So was I. Good stuff at AT&T Stadium. All right, Jeff. Turning things a little more seriously. A Baltimore man who died a week after being critically injured during his arrest a week earlier had been taken into custody without force or incident, according to a police report. Freddie Gray, 25 years old, suffered a nearly severed spine after his arrest on April 12th, according to a lawyer for his family. Video taken by a bystander does not show the injury take place, but it does show police officers dragging Gray to a police van, and Gray is heard crying out in pain. In a police report obtained by the Baltimore Sun, Officer Garrett Miller wrote that Gray was stopped after fleeing unprovoked upon noticing police presence. Miller said a knife was found clipped onto Gray's pants pocket, and he was arrested. Quote, during transport to Western District via wagon transport, the defendant suffered a medical emergency and was immediately transported to shock trauma via medic, Miller wrote. Police said they called emergency medical staff to care for Gray at the police station 30 minutes after the arrest. However, Gray's family lawyer, William Murphy, says it was far longer than that. Quote, his takedown and arrest without probable cause occurred under a police video camera, which taped everything, including the police dragging and throwing Freddie into a police vehicle while he was screaming in pain, Murphy said. And while in police custody, his spine was 80% severed at his neck.
Boy, you're never supposed to move a patient when they're, you know, when they've got a back injury like that.
Right.
It is terrible.
Gray's arrest sparked Justice for Freddie protests that intensified after his death. Dozens of protesters rallied. Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake said Police Commissioner Anthony Batts held a news conference to assure city residents that a thorough investigation was underway, and she offered her sincere condolences to Gray's family. She said, I understand the frustration of the community, and I take very seriously our obligation of transparency. We also have to balance that with our obligation to ensure sure a proper and thorough investigation is undertaken. We have to move forward in a responsible way to determine all the facts of this incident so that we can provide the community with answers, real answers, and that they deserve. And the six officers involved have been suspended, Jeff, so that's – and, of course – unfortunately, Mr. Gray, like I said, did die from his injuries after being in a coma.
And then how does his neck get severed like that?
Well,
that's to be determined, I guess.
Exactly.
Wow, because that's what the video doesn't show, I guess.
Correct. But dragging him and him screaming, it does not play well. Again, you know, this has been 2015 and 2014, Jeff. I don't know if I've ever seen the police.
I haven't seen a worse year for police.
And you know, there's just been a lot of mistakes made. And again, I want to say, you know, Jeff, 95%, I think, of the police officers in this country, you know, I have great respect for what they do. I think they're honorable people. But it's that few percent that, you know, can make everybody look bad.
Exactly.
And boy, they have really showed their stuff lately.
I don't know where it was exactly, but there was a cop that had, you know, that somebody was trying to commit suicide by a cop that would not.
That was in California.
In California it was.
Yes.
But yeah, this guy kept approaching this cop, and the cop clearly had reason to shoot him, you know, but because he had his hands in his pockets and was being threatening and stuff.
Yeah, well, he was putting the gun to himself, yeah.
Yeah, and the cop had, you know, justification to shoot him, but did not. And that refreshed that. I almost got tearful about that because, you know, I haven't seen, you know, I've seen just the opposite lately. And to see that was refreshing, you know, that the cop could have used deadly force but chose not to, and it worked out good.
Okay, I want to
know.
Make sure that we're talking about the same thing. Because are you talking about where the cop, because there's so many, Jeff, I'm not sure. Are you talking about where the cop ran into the guy and sent him flying when he?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about the guy that was approaching the cop and was trying to get the cop to shoot me. The guy was
saying,
go ahead, shoot me.
Sure.
You know, he was trying to commit suicide by the cop, basically.
Correct.
And the cop kept backing up and actually fell down at one point backing up and didn't use deadly force when he was actually justified to do it. But
that was
refreshing.
Good police work there, and
right. And
like I said, most of the time I think that is what happens, Jeff. But you know, again, it's got to improve so much better. And you know, we've
absolutely
I believe in the small cameras. I think this should become a federal law, not just for the people that are being arrested safety, but for the police officer safety. That way, they have it's transparency. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly. It protects the officers as much as it does the public.
Absolutely, and it's going to help you out in court. It's going to help you. You know, it just makes transparency is the bottom line here.
Absolutely.
And as a lot of people have said, what would have happened in South Carolina had the young man not videotaped that officer shooting?
The guy would have died, and then you'd have had to believe the police officer that planted the stun gun. You know,
right? Allegedly, but he hasn't gone to trial yet, Jeff. So just
the video spoke pretty clear to me.
It does. I agree. No, I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, good luck to the defense on that one. But whatever. No, I think this police officer was horrible, and he's sitting in a jail right now as he deserves to.
Right.
And, there's no excuse. And, you know, when they bring up, this man owed so many $1,000s in child support, well, what difference does that make? This is a life we're talking about, and someone has to be responsible.
Absolutely.
Same with the Tulsa incident. You know, if this man made a mistake, is he 73 years old, I believe, reserve deputy, there's a dead man here. Somebody has got to be, you know, someone's dead for no reason here. And, you know, he was selling an illegal firearm. Okay, he should have been arrested. He should have been pursued. He didn't deserve to be shot and killed, though.
Right.
And in the last words he heard, he was freaking out. I can't breathe. Where another officer said, fuck your breath. That's the last thing this man heard before
he
died.
Exactly. That's just terrible.
Unacceptable. And you combine that with what happened in Ferguson and what happened in Cleveland. You know, it's just... it's just been a bad year, and I just think that having these cameras either on the badge or on top of their the hat somewhere on their body. These body cams, I think, like you said, it protects the officers just as much as who they're pursuing. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, well, we've got more news to get to, but first, on this day in 1986, Chicago Bulls superstar Michael Jordan set an NBA playoff record by scoring 63 points in a single game.
Wow.
Yes. At the movies, Legend, a British-American fantasy adventure film starring Tom Cruise, Mia Sara, and Tim Curry, debuted in first place at the box office, and the number one song in the land was this. Number one on this day in 1986, pop superstar Prince and Kiss. Number one for 2 weeks, number one on the R&B charts for 4 weeks. And that was his 12th top 40 hit, Jeff.
Wow.
So, good stuff. Good stuff from Kiss. And if you remember, Tom Jones had a hit with that same song around the same time. That was a hit.
Good stuff from Prince, you mean.
Right, okay, yes. As opposed to what, Tom Jones?
Right. Okay. Well, you said as opposed to Kiss. You said good stuff from Kiss.
Oh, is that what I said? My bad, my bad. Okay, okay. Well, it's 420, Jeff. So,
no, you had a little too much there.
Oh, yes, yes. Another song we did not hear when we saw Prince in concert, unfortunately. So,
yeah, among the many.
I won't get Jeff started on that one. That's a quick one because we, you know, we've seen a lot of concerts, and anytime anyone asks, what's the worst concert you've seen? Jeff is always real quick with his answer.
Oh,
and that's always
yes.
Prince.
Exactly, without a doubt.
And the reason for that is not because he sounded bad or anything. It just during that particular tour that we saw, he sang exactly what he wanted to sing, and it would and
had hardly any hits.
I think
at
we
all.
Saw we had Purple Rain, and
that may have been it.
I Would Die for You, maybe, as was the other one. No 1999, no Little Red Corvette, no Kiss, no Raspberry Beret, none of that.
Right.
So, yes, I'm like you. I can understand the disappointment in that as well. Because, I mean, before the show, we were like, he has so many hits, I wonder which one he's going to leave out. How about all of them, but two?
Exactly.
But no, Prince is a great guy. He just, and Dick Clark said that himself. It was the hardest interview he's ever done because he gives one-word answers when you interview him. He does not elaborate, you know.
Right.
Like, yes, no, maybe. You know, so anyway, he's outstanding, though. Very talented artist, Prince and Kiss. All right, Jeff. A Transportation Security Administration committee concluded that full screening of airport employees nationwide would not lower the overall risk to the public, according to a report released today. The report by the TSA's Aviation Security Advisory Committee said that full employee screening would not appreciably increase the overall system-wide protection. Full physical screening of employees also is, quote, incapable of determining a person's motivations, attitudes, and capabilities to cause harm, among other limitations. No single measure can provide broad-spectrum protection against risk or adversaries, the report said. Therefore, risk-based multi-layered security offers the greatest ability to mitigate risk through the application of flexible and unpredictable measures to protect commercial aviation. The TSA and most airports could not afford 100% employee screening, the report said. And, Jeff, only two major airports in the United States, Miami and Orlando, require employees to be screened through metal detectors, according to an investigation earlier this year. As a result of the report, TSA Secretary Jeff Johnson announced immediate actions, including criminal background checks every 2 years for all airport aviation workers, screening of airline and airport employees traveling as passengers, reduction of access point to secure areas at all airports, and increased random screening of aviation employees. And, Jeff, I'm sorry, but I have a huge problem with this. We just saw a German pilot basically murder over 150 people
exactly.
by flying into the Alps. And in the United States, we're not going to require employees at airports to go through the same screening that other people do. After this has already happened.
Exactly, because, I mean, the pilot may have chosen to not – you know, take the plane down to kill everybody, you know, by way of crashing, but could bring a gun or
background checks. Again,
yeah.
You know, he had mental problems and they knew about this. That's why I said when this happened,
right.
I was like, well, there opens the door for lawsuits right there because Lufthansa knew about this in advance. Now, they didn't know about the note that he threw away saying he should not be flying the day he did. And I think the opportunity arose at the time for him to do this. You know, because he very much was encouraging the pilot to, oh, go ahead, go to the bathroom. You know, I've got to, you know. And we all know, unfortunately, what happened after that. And I think this is insane. I have a huge problem with this, though. I think everyone should go through the same, whether you work for an airport or not, you should be screened just like anybody else flying,
Exactly. Well, plus there were TSA agents that were helping to smuggle weapons or something like that, is what I've heard.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's for more than just one reason that you should do that. But I agree, they should all be, you know, everybody should be screened.
Well, they're part of the people that came to this conclusion, Jeff.
And money is what's talking.
Absolutely.
Know,
and I find it hard to believe that, you know, if Miami and Orlando's airports can afford to so only two airports, this is what kills me, only two airports in the United States – Miami and Orlando require employees to be screened through metal detectors. I find that completely unacceptable, Jeff.
Right.
I especially with what just happened recently. And, I'll be looking over my, looking over next time I fly over my shoulder. Well, I will be anyway, but you know what I mean? That really, I just can't believe that. All right. With the ranks of declared 2016 presidential candidates growing, a new CNN ORC poll finds the contest for the Democratic and Republican presidential nominations solidifying around two key points. Hillary Clinton dominates everyone on the Democratic side, while no one has broken out of the pack on the Republican side. The recent formal entries into the Republican race by Marco Rubio, Rand Paul, and Ted Cruz have stirred up the GOP field somewhat, but still no clear leader has emerged. The new poll finds Jeb Bush has held on to the top spot among Republicans and Republican-leaning independents, but Bush's edge is slight, and there are multiple contenders for the nomination who could overtake him with just a small increase in support at the same time that some previously strong contenders have faded. Overall, 17% of Republicans and Republican-leaning independents back Bush for the GOP nomination, while 12% support Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. Rand Paul and Marco Rubio stand at 11% each, with former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee at 9% and Texas Senator Ted Cruz at 7%. Former neurosurgeon Ben Carson and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, both of whom placed second in CNN ORC polls as recently as last fall, are now well behind the leader at 4% each. Ouch for Governor Chris Christie. Another recent poll that just came out, Jeff, shows that a majority of people, not only in America but in New Jersey, do not believe the governor, Governor Christie, did not know about the bridge incident. They think he was lying in what he said about that. And, I have to agree. I did not think he sounded a bit truthful at all.
Me too.
And Jeb Bush scored, I can't really say well, because in those of the poll they said that he is 26% of the Republicans thought he stands the best chance to in beating Hillary Clinton or the Democratic nominee. And who cares the most about people like you? 18% said Jeb Bush, and who most closely shares your values? 19%. And keep in mind, those are all the leaders in that poll that said that.
Right.
On one metric, however, Bush has an emerging challenger. While 18% see Bush as the candidate who best represents the future of the Republican Party, the same share say fellow Republican or Floridian Rubio is the best representation of the GOP's future. Rand Paul at 10% is the only other candidate in double digits on that question. So, I'm just stunned by that, to be honest with you. Among Tea Party backers, Ted Cruz and Scott Walker tie for the top slot at 15%. Rubio follows at 14%, Rand Paul at 12%, and Jeb Bush at 11%. And I don't know what to say. This is just a total toss-up in the Republican Party. I mean, one slip here, one slip there, and you could have a new – it could be like the last time. If you remember last in the 2012 election – and the year before that, there was somebody every week that would go. Newt Gingrich was number one at one time. Rick Perry was number one at one time. So, I don't know. This is going to be very interesting.
The Republican Party is just so torn,
They are.
With the new Tea Party or fairly new Tea Party, in the mix, because just everybody's so divided within the Republican Party, and that's why you're seeing this.
And keep in mind, there are several Republicans who we pretty much know are going to run who have not thrown their – Rick Perry was not a part of this poll. I don't know what former Arkansas Governor Huckabee, all of a sudden, why he thinks he is, there's just some air about him that he thinks that he is their man. And unfortunately, the polls for him are not showing that. So, there's a big divide between the Tea Party Republicans and the establishment Republicans. Jeb Bush will do well with the establishment, but not so well as the poll shows with the Tea Party.
Exactly.
On the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton declared her candidacy for the Democratic nomination with a web video and promptly hit the road to Iowa and New Hampshire. Her campaign begins in an extremely strong position among Democrats nationwide. Nearly 7 in 10 Democrats and Democratic-leaning independents support her. Overall, 69% back the former Secretary of State, over Vice President Joe Biden with 11%, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders 5%, former Virginia Senator Jim Webb at 3%, and former Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee and Maryland former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley have 1%. But get this, Jeff, Hillary Clinton is also the second choice of just over half of the Democrats who prefer someone else for the nomination. All told, Clinton is the first or second choice of 83% of the potential Democratic electorate.
Wow.
We have never seen anything like this before, that was not where someone was not a sitting vice president or a sitting or a president running for reelection. We've never seen an open season like this where someone had that much support this early on.
Right.
So this is new territory.
That's amazing.
It is amazing, and we've seen Hillary Clinton looks it's like a rock star with the paparazzi running after her. And
paparazzi.
Well, it is. I mean,
I know, but I feel like I'm in England all of a sudden.
Well, it's Hollywood. That's the paparazzi, you know,
yeah,
or Lady Gaga, you know, whatever. Don't make me break out in song, Jeff. We're still in the news portion.
Right.
But very fascinating, though. So. And, you know, and they pounded Hillary Clinton this past week on the stump, several of these Republican candidates, and none of it seemed to stick because she's pretty much where she was.
Right.
So very interesting. And I really think barring something catastrophic between now and the election, Hillary Clinton is definitely the woman we may be. I think it's very safe to say we may see the first female president next year, Jeff, barring something catastrophic. And we know in politics things can turn on a dime, so I'm not going to sit here and predict for sure that's going to happen. But, wow, what a great position to be in, though.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
Incredible. What did you think of Hillary's rollout and the
I thought that video was spot on. It brought an all-inclusive message, you know, to every walk of life, and was just full of promise, and it couldn't have been better. I mean, it was fantastic. It gave me chills. It was so good.
It really was good. A total departure from how she ran in 2008. She
right.
almost ran away from being a woman. This time she's embracing it, and she's just embracing every aspect of especially the Democratic voters and going after that those independents, because at the end of the day, it's the independents that, you know, that they swing the Republican way, they win. They swing the Democratic way, they win. So it's very And right now, Hillary Clinton leads among independents over any Republicans. So very interesting. Very
Absolutely.
Interesting. And finally, it didn't seem like a fair fight. On one side were hulking football players and pro wrestlers competing as teams of two to eat as many pounds of steak as they could combined in 1 hour. On another was a lonely 124-pound mother of four. And sure enough, in the end, Sunday's contest at the Big Texan Steak Ranch in Amarillo, Texas, wasn't even close. Molly Shuler scarfed down three 72-ounce steaks, three
wow.
baked potatoes, three side salads, three rolls, and three shrimp
wow.
cocktails, far outpacing her heftier rivals. That's more than 13 pounds of steak, not counting the sides. And here's the big one, Jeff. She did it all in 20 minutes, setting
wow.
a record in the process. Quote,
man.
We've been doing this contest since 1960, and in all that time, we've never had anybody come in to actually eat that many steaks at one time.
Because most people can't even eat one.
A lot of people can't eat a 16-ounce steak, Jeff, with the baked potato. You know, that's like when you go to a restaurant. That's the big one. You know what I mean?
Right. I saw a picture of that lady coming out, and she looked like she was pregnant.
Oh,
was
they showed
so
her stomach.
Cool.
She, well, wouldn't you, too, after you ate?
Definitely.
Let's see if my math is correct here. That's 372-ounce steaks. That's 216 ounces of steak, correct?
Yeah.
And that's combining three baked potatoes, three side salads, three rolls, and three shrimp cocktails.
Wow.
So, you know.
That's wild.
The owner said, you know, they've been doing this since 1960, and he said this is the first for us, and after 55 years of it, it's a very big deal. But in fairness, Shuler is not your typical 124-pound person. The Nebraska native, who's 35, is a professional on the competitive eating circuit, and she also once gobbled 363 chicken wings in 30 minutes. So this is not the first time we have talked about Ms. Shuler or Molly on the show. Jeff, if you remember, we talked about her maybe a couple of years ago on that chicken wing contest. So,
well, this one really caught my attention even more. It's like,
well,
it's just amazing.
And what's even more, she broke her own Big Texan record of 272-ounce steaks and sides set last year when she bested previous record holder Joey Jaws Chestnut. And, Jeff, for those, Joey Chestnut is the man who He's won many years in a row. The Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is held every 4th of July. He's the, if you remember, there was a Japanese guy with bleached blonde hair that won that for several years in a row until Joey Chestnut came along, and he's won the last several years, and that's why they call him Jaws now. But in closing, that the landmark Big Texan restaurant offers its 72-ounce challenge daily to anyone who can eat the massive steak plus fixings in under an hour. Those who can't do so must pay $72 for the meal.
All right.
So, 72 ounces, nothing to her. 216 ounces of steak in 20 minutes with the trimmings. So there you go. That's going to do it for the news. The Wide World of Sports is straight ahead. You're listening to The Chad Report.
That breathing.
Pop group Ambrosia and their fourth top 40 hit, Biggest Part of Me. Number three for three straight weeks on the pop charts. And they hail from Los Angeles, California. That
love
is a
it.
Great soft rock pop group. I mean, that
absolutely.
They embody that. And these guys still tour as well. They also have How Much I Feel, which I think I like that one just a little better. And I love Biggest Part of Me. This is like one of my favorite 70s songs. Actually, Biggest Part of Me, excuse me, is 19. That came from 1980.
Yeah, I want to see them.
Yeah, I do too. But How Much I Feel is also, you know, one of my greats. That's a great one too. And You're the Only Woman That I'm Dreaming Of. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, another, definitely.
They're just excellent, excellent soft rock group. Ambrosia. All right, Jeff. The Philadelphia Eagles have signed quarterback Tim Tebow to a one-year contract, giving the 2007 Heisman Trophy winner his first shot in the NFL since the Patriots cut him before the 2013 season. The team announced the deal today but did not disclose financial terms. Tebow hasn't played in the NFL since 2012 with the New York Jets. He worked as a television analyst last year with the Southeast Conference Network and ESPN. The 27-year-old player is still highly popular after leading Florida to two national titles and spending two seasons with the Denver Broncos. Many fans follow Tebow because of his strong Christian beliefs. Tebow worked out for the Eagles last month, and Chip Kelly later said that he's always, quote, been a fan of Tim. Tebow had some success in Denver, including a playoff win over Pittsburgh in January 2012, but struggled with accuracy. He was known for running the ball and improvising. Kelly has had one of the busiest offseasons in the NFL, bringing in Tebow, Sam Bradford, and running back DeMarco Murray, while trading away quarterback Nick Foles, LeSean McCoy, and allowing Jeremy Maclin to leave in free agency. So we're going to be seeing a whole, you know, new lineup pretty much with the Philadelphia Eagles in the coming season. I mean, those names, those are like their biggest names, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But they brought in, you know, Sam Bradford is certainly good, and stole our DeMarco Murray from the Dallas Cowboys. So thank you so much, Chip, for that. Wow. Yeah, interesting. Wow. That's called shaking things up, Jeff, wouldn't you say?
Definitely.
That'll be interesting to see how Tim performs because in his career he has just completed 47.9% of his passes, though.
Wow,
and that's makes you say, ouch.
Exactly.
So we'll see, though, you know. Second chances happen all the time, you know?
Right.
All right. I know I'm running short on time, so let's just go ahead and run down. Going into a lot, tons of baseball games going on tonight. But in the Major League Baseball, let's run down the standings. In the American League West, the Houston Astros at 6-6 lead the West Division by a half game over Oakland. When is the last time we saw Houston in first place? Wow,
right.
Congratulations there. In the American League Central, it's Detroit at 10-2 with a one-game lead over the Kansas City Royals. And in the AL East, it's Baltimore and Boston at 7-5. In the National League, the LA Dodgers at 9-3 have a game and a half lead over San Diego. In the NL Central, it's the St. Louis Cardinals at 8-3 with a two-game lead over Chicago. And in the National League East, it's New York at 10-3, the New York Mets, with a game and a half lead over the Atlanta Braves. Wow, the Mets getting a little attention as opposed to the Yankees. I'm sure they like that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Definitely.
In Cleveland, Kyrie Irving scored 30 points in his playoff debut. LeBron James added 20 in his first postseason game with Cleveland in 5 years, and Love shook off a slow start to record a double-double, leading the Cavaliers to a 113-100 victory in Game 1 over the Boston Celtics on Sunday. In Memphis, Tennessee, reserve Beno Udrih scored 20 points, and Memphis never trailed in a Game 1 rout of Portland. Zach Randolph had 16 points and 11 rebounds, and Mark Gasol added 15 points and 11 rebounds. Mike Conley finished with 16 points and didn't play the fourth quarter, and Jeff Green had 11. So, and also in Atlanta, Kyle Korver scored 21 points, including 5 3-pointers, and top-seeded Atlanta held off the pesky Brooklyn Nets in Game 1, as did the L.A. Clippers in a late game last night. That game wasn't off until Central Time, until it was a little bit past midnight. The Clippers down San Antonio, and now they lead that series 1-0. So going on as we speak, Jeff, there's two games tonight. and both these games are on TNT. The Milwaukee Bucks are at the Chicago Bulls, and then the late game at 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central, the New Orleans Pelicans at the number one seed Golden State Warriors.
Wow.
And that was a fascinating game the other day, because Golden State had a huge lead, but
yeah,
New Orleans came back very close. Yes, yeah, very close. And so, like I said, Golden State leads that series 1-0, and they play later tonight. In the Houston-Dallas series, the Houston Rockets lead the Dallas Mavericks 1-0. They play tomorrow night. The L.A. Clippers lead San Antonio. They'll play again Wednesday. And then Portland and Memphis also play again Wednesday, with Memphis leading that series 1-0. In the Eastern Conference, Atlanta leads 1-0, and they play again on Wednesday. Oh, they lead Brooklyn, 1-0. And Cleveland leads Boston 1-0. They play tomorrow night. Chicago against Milwaukee. Chicago, like I said, leads that series 1-0, and they are playing right now. And Toronto, actually the Washington Wizards lead the Toronto Raptors 1-0, and they play tomorrow night as well. And that's a 4 and 5 seed game. So I expect that series to go I expect that to be a long series, the Raptors and the Washington Wizards. They're very equal. You know what I mean?
Right.
What do you think about the Mavericks, Jeff, and the Houston series?
Oh, boy. I'm a little worried, to be honest with you. I mean, because you know how Chandler Parsons went out for, a little while for his ankle?
Yes.
And
he came back, though.
And he came back. So I'm just hoping that we need all players – available. You know, we sure can't spare any injuries, I don't think. You know, we have a deep bench, but this team's a pretty good matchup for us, so we need to really play our best game, and we got to stop giving so many turnovers.
And a lot of the analysts have said that the Dallas-Houston series is a toss-up. They really think, because Rick Carlisle is known for his adjustments, and yes, the layups and the three-pointers by the Rockets on Saturday night were just devastating. They really were.
By Jason Terry. It's like, come
on. I know, the former
traitor.
Maverick. That's what I'm saying. Jason, you're killing us. What are you doing?
Right.
Okay, and the NHL, let me say that again. NHL, the National Hockey League playoffs, let me run those down just real quickly. St. Louis and Minnesota, that series is tied 1-1. Nashville and Chicago leads 2-1. Anaheim versus Winnipeg, Anaheim leads 2-0. Vancouver versus Calgary, the Calgary Flames have a 2-1 lead. In the Eastern Conference, the New York Rangers and Pittsburgh, that series is tied 1-1. Montreal and Ottawa, Montreal leads that 3-0, so on Wednesday night they can close them out. Tampa Bay and Detroit, that series is tied 1-1, and Washington leads the Islanders lead 2-1 in that series. So, and they play tomorrow night on the USA Network. That's going to do it for sports. The entertainment update is next, right here on The Chad Report. Laura Branigan and her fourth top 40 hit, Self Control. That was her second biggest hit of her career. And another one who just died way too young, Jeff. She died on August 26, 2004, at the age of 47,
wow,
of a brain aneurysm, unfortunately. And
man, that's so young. I just love that song. That's probably my favorite by her.
Is that not a great song? I'm not sure I understand everything.
I don't know, most songs.
I live among the creatures of the night. I haven't got the will to try and fight. And so you take yourself, you take my self-control, you know. So,
right,
you know, I'm all yours, basically. And, you know, I also live among the creatures of the night. I call them cats. But,
right,
you know. So, no, I agree. There's something mystical, there's a mystique. I don't know what I would say about that song. It's got a great beat, but it's kind of got, I don't know, mystique? Is that a good word for it?
Yeah,
I think so too. It's my son. That, and I can't think of anything else better. So how's that, Jeff?
Yeah.
But no, Laura Branigan, the late Laura Branigan, outstanding, outstanding. She's known for more than just Gloria. Okay. All right. At the box office, Jeff, even in its debut weekend, Kevin James' Paul Blart sequel could not outpace Furious 7. The reigning box office champion might have slowed from its blockbuster debut, but Furious 7 maintained first place for the third weekend in a row with an estimated $29.1 million. This brings the high-octane action movie's domestic total to a staggering $294 million, well above the $202 million that Fast and Furious 6 had at the same point in this cycle in 2013. Worldwide, Jeff, the film has now crossed the $1 billion mark.
Wow.
So, wow indeed. Paul Blart: Mall Cop 2 came in a close second with an estimated $24 million. And while the PG-rated comedy didn't perform as well as the first film's $31.8 million opening in 2009, it did surpass Sony's modest expectations. Also, it only cost $30 million to produce. So if it's already made, you know, an estimated $24, we know they're going to pull in a nice profit there.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, the low-budget social media-themed thriller Unfriended took third place with $16 million, 16 times its production budget, Jeff.
Wow.
Why wasn't I in on that? Hello.
Exactly.
Well, it cost $1 million to make, and it made $16 million in its first week.
Yeah.
Ka-ching, you know what I'm saying? Wow. The top 10, just running down. Number 10, Cinderella. 9, The Divergent Series, Insurgent. 8, Woman in Gold. 7, Monkey Kingdom. 6, Get Hard. 5, The Longest Ride. 4, Home. And then, like I said, 3, Unfriended. 2, Paul Blart: Mall Cop 2. And at number 1 for the third week in a row, Furious 7. Paul Walker's final film. And incredible. Wow. Have not seen this yet and really want to. This looks
definitely.
Talk about high octane, just from the clips and things I've seen. This
kind of movie.
I know. I knew you were so. Okay, moving on to a little more serious note, Jeff. What's going on with Bobby Christina Brown? Ambiguous, officially unconfirmed remarks by her paternal relative suggest her comatose condition might have improved. Her father, Bobby Brown, said during a concert Saturday night in Texas that she is awake and that she's, quote, watching me, according to the Associated Press, citing murky video surfacing on social media. Meanwhile, her aunt, Bobby's sister Tina Brown, declared in a now-deleted post on her Facebook page that Bobby Christina, age 22, woke up and is going to be okay. So many messages. Sorry I can't answer them all right now, but I will get to them later. Just allow me this time with my family. Yes, she woke up, and she is no longer on life support. God is good. Thanks for your prayers. Still a process, but she's going to be okay. You know, and unfortunately, there is no confirmation about any of this from the Brown family lawyer, Christopher Brown, who's of no relation. He's declined to return calls or emails. Meanwhile, GossipCop.com, an anti-gossip website, cited unnamed sources close to the family in reporting today that the Brown family remarks have been misinterpreted, that Bobby Christina is not awake and her condition remains unchanged. Bobby Christina has been comatose since she was found unresponsive and face down in a bathtub in her Georgia home on January 31st. After weeks in an Atlanta hospital, she was moved to a rehab facility last month. And her maternal grandmother, gospel great Sissy Houston, told a New York radio station at the time that her condition remained unchanged. So thoughts and prayers still, you know, continue for Bobby Christina. That's just a very sad situation. And, you know, if Bobby Brown's right and Bobby's sister, but I'd love that. And the fact that maybe they're seeing some signs. GossipCop.com, an anti-gossip website, I'm not sure how much faith to put into that. But
it
you know
sounds
what I'm saying?
Contradictory. You know,
right, anti-gossip website. So basically they're fact check, I guess, reality check type
right.
website. But you've also got Whitney Houston's mother. You've got Whitney Houston's mother also saying that her condition remains unchanged. So it's kind of who do you believe in that situation?
Right.
So, but again, we certainly will continue to pray, and our thoughts go out to that family. That's just sad,
definitely.
You know. Okay, it was high time for this collaboration. On 420, a day heralded for marijuana connoisseurs, fans, and proponents, Willie Nelson, age 81, announced he's putting his name on his own brand of cannabis, calling it Willie's Reserve. Quote, I am looking forward to working with the best growers in Colorado and Washington to make sure our product is the best on the market, says the musician, a longtime advocate for the legalization of marijuana, in a statement. This is no layman's endeavor. According to a press release, Willie's Reserve will be an extension of Willie's passion and appreciation for the many varieties and range of the plant's qualities. Fans can expect master growers to collaborate on clean and consistent products, which will be sold in Colorado and Washington until those pesky state regulators allow it elsewhere.
Wow. It sounds like if we ever go to Colorado, we don't want to ask for it.
That
right?
sounds like there's coffee commercials that don't sound that good. Hello? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Coffee. I'm like,
and, you know, Willie's got to know his business in it. So.
And his final quote, which is great, Jeff, he told Rolling Stone, it's just a matter of time in this country before it's legal. He said, I feel like I bought so much, it's time to start selling it back. Is what he said. So,
yeah. Wow.
Only Willie Nelson can, you know.
Exactly. His reputation precedes him.
You know what? He has his own line of tequila, and I'm sure his marijuana will be the best, just like he says. So.
Right. I believe him.
All right, Jeff. Celebrity birthday time.
Right.
It's your favorite. Absolutely. Okay. We'll put a little twist on this. It is 420, so, you know, we'll see. Not only guess their age, we'll guess if we think they've ever participated before, Jeff. How's that? Country musician Clay Cook of the Zac Brown Band is 37. I'd say he probably has. Actor Joey Lawrence. Jeff?
I'm going to say 39, and yes.
Boom, and I don't know. He's pretty goody-goody. You think so?
I do think so, definitely. Yeah. Maybe not still.
Awesome.
Good,
give me a break.
Ever tried it? I think he's definitely
maybe
tried
he's tried it. Okay, I'll go that. 39, you're right on the money on him. Actress Carmen Electra. Jeff?
I'm going to say 46.
Ouch. Minus three. 43 for Carmen. Although she's so beautiful, it's hard to tell what she's age she is. And a definite yes on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Reggae singer Stephen Marley, son of legendary reggae star Bob Marley, is 43 today. And do we even have to guess on that one? How much has he smoked today is the question.
Right, right.
actress Jessica Lange, Jeff?
Oh, gosh. I would say 56.
She would love you. She's actually add 10 to that, and you've got it.
Gosh,
66
wow.
for Jessica. I'd say she's tried it, too. And yeah, she is beautiful, a beautiful woman. Actor Ryan O'Neill. Not so beautiful. And I don't mean, look, I'm talking about personality. I'm not a fan.
I would say 67.
In his dreams. He's 74.
Man,
and
wow.
Yes. And he's he needs to smoke marijuana and less of the crack and the other things that make him such a mean person. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Okay, yeah. Jeff? And well, that's my opinion. I can say what I want. And actor George Takei, finally, who, of course, of Star Trek fame, who is the man on Facebook, you know. So.
Yeah, I'm going to say 76.
Plus two, 78, and yes for George Takei, wouldn't you say?
I would say yes, yeah.
And for those people screaming, it's George Takei. No, it's not. It's George Takei. Look it up. Okay. I do want to announce, I'm very excited, on Wednesday night show, we will have recording artist Martone on the show discussing his new album that's coming up and his the debut single, Love You, I Do. And, of course, this is very special to me because Martone produced the first season of The Chad Report and was my co-host on the first season. And kind of a spinoff of the show I worked on with him. His show was Industry Review in the Mix, where we interviewed so many celebrities and had a great time over at that show. And we haven't been on the air together in over 3 years. So looking very forward to this. He's got a great single coming up, and we will have him on the show Wednesday night at 8, 7 Central. You can find Jeff and I on Facebook at Chad Burleson or Jeff Rivers. You can find us on Twitter at The Chad Reports. The Chad Report is distributed by Blog Talk Radio and is a CJ Scorpio Entertainment production. Thanks, everyone.